think about the Lord's birth and Him coming into this world, and take advantage of it to do just that. Don't let it have the opposite effect on you and you forget God. Let it bring you closer to Him. Matthew chapter number 2. Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now, that meant that old king there couldn't understand his Bible and hadn't been reading it. And he had to get them guys together that could tell him where this Messiah was going to be coming. And he got them all together and said, "You guys believe as a Messiah been born?" They said, "I don't know. Some of us do, some don't." He said, "You tell me right now where that guy's born at. I'm going to go worship him too." Of course, he's really wanting to kill him, but he acted like he wanted to worship him. And he said he wanted to know where he was born. Now, I'd like to preach to you this morning on the subject, why was Jesus born? Why was Jesus born? It was a dirty, stinking stable with animals around it that the Son of God lay and rested His head that day. They didn't put Him on the news, and CNN wasn't around those days, and they didn't put Him on the front page of USA Today and buying 16 years worth of diapers and a new van and all of that stuff. But it was the greatest birth that's ever been in this world. You talk about a fertility drug, son. Mary didn't even have a husband or a boyfriend. God overshadowed her, and baby, the Lord Jesus Christ was born into this world. I'm glad that Jesus came, ain't you? I'm glad it was to the stable nearly 2,000 years ago. I'm glad that He come to the common people that heard Him gladly. Just old sinners like me and you could hear the message and get in. I want to give you briefly four reasons this morning why Jesus was born. And I want to start by saying, first of all, this morning, Jesus was born in order to fulfill the Scriptures. Now, you probably don't understand how important what I just said was. It is important that the Scriptures be fulfilled. Matter of fact, one time he said, the Scripture must be fulfilled. When God says something in that Bible, it has to, it will come to pass. There's no way it could miss. Jesus was born to fulfill the Scripture. Isaiah 7:14 said, 700 years before He was born, that a virgin would conceive. Now, I want to say this morning that it is fulfilling that Scripture when Christ was born in Bethlehem. Now, a lot of folks have the idea today that it makes no difference. Matter of fact, I heard on the radio coming home last night, I listen to CDs, Christmas CDs. I listen to tapes that I'd heard before. I've turned on the radio trying to find some preaching. I listen to part of a ball game. I'm doing everything trying to stay awake last night. And I heard on the radio that they said, that somebody said the leader of the largest denomination in Canada. Did anybody hear that? On the radio last night, the largest Protestant denomination in Canada has now said that it's not important whether or not Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. It's no big deal. As long as we follow the teachings and His example that He set for us, it's not really important that you believe where He was born of a virgin. I want to say it is not only important, it is essential. It is necessary. If Jesus Christ was not born of a virgin, He had a human father. If He had a human father, He had sinful blood. And if He had sinful blood, His blood did no good when it was shed on the cross. He had to be born of a virgin. His mother had to be born of a virgin. You see, Jesus Christ was not a new person created. He was a pre-existent person incarnated. Now, what does that mean? That means this. That means Jesus Christ did not come into being at Bethlehem. That is not when He began. Jesus had always been with the Father as part of the Trinity of God in heaven. You say, explain that. Can't do it. But I believe it. It's a mystery. God was manifest in the flesh and came down here to this world. You believe that? Some believe it, some don't. You know, yesterday, one of the kids were out of school, and Corey decided she wanted to go with me on this trip. I try to take turns with them, take them on trips every once in a while. She decided she wanted to go with me on this trip. And I said, okay, honey, get your clothes packed. She got her bags packed. Me and her left out about lunchtime on Friday, and we headed down to Florence, Marion, South Carolina. Actually, on the other side of Marion, about 30 miles this side of Myrtle Beach, 35, something like that. And I said, okay, baby, you come on, get your stuff ready, and I'll take you. And so yesterday morning we got up, and I said, what do you want to do? She said, she wanted to go see the beach. It's a good time of year to go to the beach. Nobody down there, and you know, everybody down there has got clothes on, and just a few stragglers out, and everything, a lot of stuff closed up. So me and her went down there yesterday morning, and we went out there, that old muddy-looking place. You know, after seeing them beaches in Fort Walton last week, Myrtle ain't much. Just a little mud hole. And boy, I'll tell you, we went out there and walked around. I said, all right, honey, what do you want to do? There's this. There's motion theater. There's this. There's that. What do you want to do? She said, I want to go to Ripley's, Believe It or Not. And I said, you do? And she said, yeah. She said, because I like science. And I said, okay, all right, that's where we'll go, Ripley, Believe It or Not. So we went across the street, went in, and I paid that woman $12, thank me and her, to get in there, and we went in. And what you've been in one of them things, I guess, a museum, where it's all this stuff of strange and unusual things. Oh, Lord, some of it, some of it you just can't hardly stand to look at. I've seen this, they showed this movie, this guy driving a nail in his nose. Big nail, big as your finger. I mean, bang, bang, bang. Like I took a hammer and banged a nail in his nose. I saw it. This guy swallowed a ball. It is a cue ball, like a cue ball, off a pool table. And suddenly he put it in his mouth and swallowed that thing. He swallowed a light bulb. We've seen people stick big nails through their tongue. We've seen all kind of weird stuff. We've seen this dude had his horn coming out back of his head, right here. He's from China somewhere, and had a big horn sticking out like here. And you know, it always says, believe it or not, believe it or not. And it showed this woman, this shrunken head, you know, King Tut and his tomb, a whole bunch of weird stuff like that. And you know, I got to thinking, if they really want to put something unusual in there, they ought to put the birth of Jesus Christ and the tomb there and say, this man was dead 3 days and got up out of that tomb, believe it or not. And brother, this thing is true. I tell you, the Bible said some believe and some believe not. And brother, I'm here to tell you this morning, Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Greatest Christmas present we ever got was when Christ came to this world. His mother took that gift, wrapped it in swaddling clothes. She didn't put a bow on it, but she laid it in the manger. And that was our gift from God that first Christmas day. She asked me, I said, what do you want for Christmas, honey? Here's what she said. It's pretty good for a kid. She said, I don't need nothing. I don't want nothing this year. I thought, well, there ain't many kids that answer like that. She said, all I really want is for it to snow. I said, amen. I can handle that. Then, before we got going, she said she wanted some Nikes, high-top Nikes. And she said, Daddy, let's go to the Nike store. We went, I looked all them stupid outlets, so we rode around them hunting for a Nike store. And never did find one. But we went into the place and found one like she likes and all of that. But I got to thinking about their gift. And I got to thinking about how much a pair of tennis shoes just means to a kid. Or how much a baby doll, Barbie doll. Barbie's getting, I don't know what's happening to Barbie nowadays. She's getting weird. But I tell you what, brother, there's a lot of things that people think, if I could just have that. Let me tell you what the greatest gift's ever been given. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, conceived of the Holy Ghost. Not a new person created, a pre-existent person incarnated in the flesh. Did you know your blood comes from your Father? And did you know Jesus Christ had God's blood running through His veins? According to Acts chapter 20, it was God's blood in Jesus. Deuteronomy said, Moses said, a prophet shall the the Lord your God raise up like unto me. You know this scripture had to be fulfilled. Did you know the place of his birth was prophesied in Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2? Did you know that? Did you know that 700 years before he was born, the prophet Micah wrote these words, and he said this, "Thou Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judea, yet out of thee shall come he which shall be ruler in Israel from everlasting." Micah saw the Lord's birth 700 years before it happened. Jesus was born to fulfill that scripture. You say, "Oh, just coincidence, wasn't it, preacher?" Listen. Why did the Old Testament say it be in Bethlehem? Did you know that the chances of that being guesswork just wouldn't happen? Did you know in the ancient world that there were only three continents known? Europe, Asia, and Africa. Asia was picked out by Micah. Did you know that Asia has many countries? Palestine was picked out by Micah. Did you know that Palestine has three districts? Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. And did you know that Judea was chosen by Micah? But did you know that Judea has many villages, of which one is Bethlehem? And Micah nailed it, son. Right 700 years before he was born, Micah wrote, "He will be born in Bethlehem of Judea." Not bad, huh? These sikhics couldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. The 1-900 sikhic line, the sikhic hotline, could never get you through to one like that. They can't even tell you your name. They have to ask you. It's like, "Excuse me, what's your name, please?" "Well, you're the sikhic. You tell me what my name is. I'm paying for this. Tell me my name. You know my birth date, don't you? It ain't too hard for you." You know what they are? They're a bunch of fakes. These so-called psychics nowadays. I just say it like that, Tiger Beachy. Did you know what? They're a bunch of fakes. You know why they're fakes? Because they never tell you nothing bad. "What was I in my past life?" "Oh, you were a rich princess in a palace." "Yeah, right. Yeah, sure you was." "All right, why don't they ever say, oh, you were a transvestite in Dallas and somebody cut your throat, you know?" And, you know, they won't never say that. They'll never say that because they want your money. Let me tell you something, buddy. This book here said 700 years before it happened. He said, "I'm telling you, he's coming. He's coming to Bethlehem. He'll be there on time. And just at the right time, when Daniel's 69th week was fulfilled, 483 years after the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, the baby was brought forth in Bethlehem's manger. It was a time of taxing. God had that all figured out just right. God had it all planned out for Mary to become pregnant on the right day. He knew they'd have to go to Bethlehem to pay their taxes. And while they was there, the time was come that she should be delivered." I don't know if riding that donkey made it happen. I don't know if God just said now's the time. But brother, I'll tell you, somebody told me the other night, I was preaching, where was I preaching? I believe it was down in Florida, and I had everybody just tore up. I mean, I was fussing and I was raising Cain, and everybody was all over it. And they said, "Man, you got some woman so tore up, she had to go to the hospital and have a baby." That's what they told me the other night in Florida. I said, "Good! Hey man, that's the second time I've done that." One night we had the youth rally going on here, and I was making everybody jump up, jump up, jump up, jump up. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And it happened right back there. It happened, boy. Bang. She had to run out of here and go to the hospital and have a baby. That's the way Mary was. Brother, her time was come. She was great with child. And God, in His infinite wisdom, said it in the scripture, "Listen, not one jot, not one tittle will fall from this book till every single word of that thing's going to come to pass." Hallelujah! We're not talking 90%. We're not talking some amateur like Nostradamus. We're not talking some little peewee league like Gene Dixon and Edgar Casey and the Psychic Hotline and Eric Estrada and Dionne Warwick and seeing the ghost on the Queen Mary and I saw a job and you're going to get a job. And you're like, yeah, yeah. We're not talking about that kind of junk. We're talking about a God that can see the future before it ever gets here and writes it down. Jesus was born to fulfill the Scripture. Hey, got news for you this morning. The rest of it that's in there is going to come to pass just like the book said it would. Amen. He was born to fulfill the Scripture. And then let me say second this morning quickly. He was born, number two, to reveal the Father. For years, people would want to know what God's like. What's God like? The only thing they'd ever heard from God were them Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, the Old Testament law. I'm telling you, they did not know what God was like in His personality. Jesus showed up in John 14, 9 and said, "He that has seen Me hath seen the Father." You want to know what God's like? Read about Jesus Christ. Bible said He was moved with compassion on the restless multitude. That's God. He was weeping over Jerusalem. That's God. He healed blind Bartimaeus after the disciples had told the man to shut up. That's God. He forgave the woman who committed adultery and told her to go and sin no more. That's God. Nobody else could do that. Well, we saw Him there as He healed the blind and raised the dead and then died on the cross and came up the third day. Jesus Christ was born to show us what God's like. People say, "But God," I heard something the other day on a video. I got this other new UFO video. Man, these people are demon possessed. I'm going to bring some of them and show you some of these times. You talk about it's channeling. And these people are channeling these spirits. They call them these entities and higher spirit guides and all kind of stuff like that. And what they're doing, these spirits are speaking through them. And they're saying that. And this guy said, "You don't have to seek God. God is everywhere. God is in everything. God is in the trees. God is in them wires. God is in that flag and these flowers and this carpet. And everything is God. You don't have to find God. You must find yourself." Well, that guy should not be allowed to get out of the house by himself. He's about as nutty as a fruitcake. And I'm telling you this morning, brother, Jesus Christ come to show us what God's like. And if you want to know what God's like, read your Bible and look at Jesus Christ. God is not the God of Louis Farrakhan. God is not the God of the Buddhist. God is not the God of the false religion of the Eastern world. He's the God of the Bible. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He done it to reveal the Father. They said many, many years ago in 1775 that up in Baltimore there was this real fancy hotel and this poorly dressed farmer, it didn't look too good or smell too good, came and tried to get a room. The manager, it's a fancy place. The manager told him, he said, "Sorry, sir, we can't let you stay here. We don't have any rooms." And he just didn't want him there because he was shabbily dressed. And they found out later that it was Jefferson, the Vice President of the United States of America. And they wrote him a letter and said, "Dear Mr. Jefferson, please forgive us." They said, "You're welcome to stay at our motel anytime you want to. We didn't recognize you. We didn't know it was you." And he wrote them back and he said, "If you don't have room for a dirty American farmer, you don't have room for the Vice President of the United States." And they missed him because he wasn't what they thought he would be. Now, all these years, people said, "We want to find God. We want to know what God's like. If there's a God, why don't He show Himself?" A baby showed up in Bethlehem. He grew up in obscurity. He never traveled far. He didn't own a lot. Didn't even have a place to lay His head. He was crucified, buried. And people said, "No, that couldn't be Him. That couldn't be Him." They rejected Him. But God looked back and said, "That was Him. And if you don't have room for Him, you don't have room for Me." Thank God this morning. I know what God's like. He's like Jesus. Y'all know what God's like? He's like Jesus Christ. He is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. Amen? Sure He is. Somebody said many years ago, this family whose daddy had got killed in a war, they're sitting at the table one Christmas, had a picture up on the wall, and the little boy was there at the table, and Mama said, "Honey, if you could have anything you want this Christmas, what would it be?" And he looked up and he said, "I wish my daddy could step out of that picture and be with us." And of course that couldn't happen. But I want to tell you what happened. Guess what happened for us? He stepped right out of that picture in that Bible and come and was with us and walked among us and we beheld His glory. God became flesh to reveal the Father. Let me say thirdly this morning quickly, Jesus was born, number three, to defeat the devil. Nobody could defeat the devil, I preached last Sunday night, till He come along. He could, He did, and He would, and He did. Bible said in 1 John 3:8, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil." Thank God somebody come along that could whip the devil. And because He whipped the devil, we can win through the devil through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad we've got the victory over the devil. You know, young people today are given the impression that the devil is more powerful than Jesus. You know, I got that rock thing of them. around. Are those demons strangling Jesus? Got the snake's body wrapped around Jesus' body. Got all that, the sword over and going to kill him like this. They're giving the impression that the devil is more powerful than Jesus. But I'm glad this morning that the devil has been defeated and that Jesus was born to defeat the devil. Amen? We don't have to be scared of the devil no more. We respect him and his power, but we have somebody more powerful than the devil is this morning. Hey man, I wouldn't attempt to do my job if I didn't believe that greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. We're outnumbered big time. We are outnumbered in this world. You know, we're scared without the Lord, and sometimes